The rabbit hole is for informational purposes only and should not be considered legal, health, tax, or financial advice. The program's participants are not responsible for any losses, damages, or liabilities that may arise from acting on the information contained within this program. All discussions and disclosures are part of the public record. We ask that listeners respect the privacy of the individuals participating or named in each episode. Thank you.
Welcome to the Rabbit Hole Podcast.
Down the rabbit hole we go.
Welcome to the Rabbit Hole. With your hosts, Marty and Andy.
We begin in 5, 4, 3, 2.
In the free exchange of information between the government and the people who create that government. The people who elect that government is absolutely crucial to the democratic process. One of our greatest freedoms is to have a right to know what our government is doing. Courtney Cox, 2005.
Thank you for listening to the Rabbit Hole Podcast. This is going to be episode 6, and we are going to talk about Christianity, corruption, and Chesterfield County, Virginia, and how all this ties together and what our experience has been in county and how it matters, not just in our case, but in a broader scope.
I'll tell you right now, if I had known that the nickname, do you know what the nickname for our county here in Chesterfield is?
No.
The nickname for our county is Arrestafield County, Virginia.
Arrestafield.
I kid you not. And wow. It's all over. If you go to look up Chesterfield County, that'll come up pretty quickly. We grew up, both of us, Northeast, right? I'm from New Jersey. You're from New York. And growing up, we had history. You know, just like they have down here in the South. But for us, history was like, you know, America was great. It was the end of all this oppression. Yeah, we had a little speed bump in the Civil War, but we fixed all of that. And now we're healing and we're in this new condition where we're all equal under the law. And yes, I'm really oversimplifying here. I don't think anybody let Chesterfield County know. If you're coming to the Richmond area, you're probably going to look at two locations. You're either going to live in Midlothian, which I always call Midlo, Chesterfield County, or you're going to live in Short Pump, Henrico County. That's just kind of what's going to mimic the Northeast. A lot of different people coming in and out, moving culturally. But I will say that Henrico is preferred for me. We lived in Chesterfield first, and I really loved the reservoir here. That's what kind of kept us here. Or made me come back here, I should say. But Henrico, convenience-wise, is that's a better locale.
Yeah, I think for the first 2 years when we were in Chesterfield County, we weren't really plugged in. And when I, just talking about it now and thinking through, most of the people, not everybody, but the vast majority of people that I talked to, I spent time with, even when I was in Chesterfield County the first 2 years, they were people, actually, it was from Henrico. It was from, they call it north of the river versus south of the river. And so then we lived in this county for a handful of years, and it was great. I mean, by and large, it was a good experience. It was convenient. I felt like things made sense. Honestly, I
and
felt
it
like
totally,
things made sense.
It was totally contrary to my mother's response when I said that we were going to move to Virginia, right? Because I don't think my mother was expecting it. We weren't either. It was very fast. When we decided to come to Virginia, it was kind of like a God thing. It just sort of happened. And my mother's first response was, oh my gosh, I can't go with you. And I was like, what do you mean you can't go with me? We're moving to Virginia, not, you know, Europe. It's going to be right there. And she was like, no, because just to give a little background, my mother's very dark skinned and she married my father, who was
not dark
very
skin.
White.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, so, the whitest cat. He's like
right.
pink white.
So I'm somewhere in the middle. But because of her experience when he was in the Navy, they lived in Virginia. And her experience was, you know, one where she was walking home with a girlfriend and they ended up getting chased into like those phone booths for safety because they were being heckled and harassed by, you know, some locals, let's say. And it wasn't because they were just pretty ladies. It was racially motivated. So she was terrified to come back to Virginia. And, you know, we didn't know then. She ended up having a pretty massive stroke right before we moved. So it took us years to get her here. And it's different now. It really is. I'm not going to say it's the same, but that was her impression of this place and this space. And it just wasn't our experience when we got here. We were pretty culturally plugged in and felt like we had good, diverse friends. And we felt like, wow, everyone's so scared to come to Virginia. And I don't understand why, because it just seems like it was back home on the surface. But I didn't realize how on the surface we had been living.
Yeah. They basically, I mean, we talk about the history of this. We found this out. This was like, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. Talking to somebody, and he explained a little bit about the history of Chesterfield County and how when a lot of the push for civil rights was taking place, that people who were in, say, Greater Richmond decided that those were not good policies. So they made a beeline for Chesterfield County, and that's where they set up shop. And in hearing that, things started to click for me. It started to make more sense, because I think when people think of discrimination, you know, especially when you think about historical discrimination of the South, you immediately kind of put it to a very specific racial quotient. But I think, is that a word, quotient?
It is a word. I don't know if that's the correct usage.
I used it wrong. calculation. I didn't feel right about that. But like, it's broader than that. I think discrimination, and that's the subtlety of it.
I think the thing that shifted is, yes, I do believe there's still racial discrimination here. I think everyone will attest to that. I think what's worse is it's not that it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten better for some people. Some people really try to really work that out and not be, you know, discriminatory. But there are some bloodlines here, I'll say, that just really dig their heels in, and now they're expanding it to include economic discrimination. And they're just learning how to use the system in a more, I don't even know how to describe it, more subtle way, so that you can't claim racial discrimination anymore, but there's still barriers. They've just altered how they apply them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say that it's more of a barrier. And a lot of the people, and a lot of people in our neighborhood, they tend to, if they're not from here, which is a lot of the folks, they move on, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. This tends to not be the permanent destination. And so let's say you have a bad experience, but you kind of go and you, it is what it is. I think that is about the, for lack of a better term, the bloodlines, the lineage that ties back, that it says, well, I know so-and-so judge or so-and-so commissioner, whoever the case may be. And
that good old boys network that they always reference on the Duke of Hazzards, right? Like, isn't that how it was?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking British. Yeah. Boys. It's not like Duke of Hazzard. Okay.
Dude, they would love to be Dukes here. They'd be like, I'm the Duke of Chesterfield County. Oh, I do declare.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's like, I get Arrestafield County. I just think it needs to be something a little greasier. Like
Crisco
County makes sense, but it doesn't rhyme. So yeah. I don't know. Somebody work on that.
I feel like what I've experienced, and I don't want to say there aren't, sure, there's some good people, full disclaimer, blah, blah, blah. But I've found that I'm very uncomfortable with this being the county of residence for me based on my experiences. And even if all goes well for us, I don't think when you're in an environment when there can be double standards and just this kind of like, nothing seems to be illegal if the right people say it isn't
right.
illegal.
So that's why I started doing some historical research, because I'm like, where does this come from? Because you can't say it's just applied racially. It's not. It's expanded to being an economic disadvantage, and also a who you know, I don't know what you would call that, social, cultural origins, right? Like, I started looking into property law. And I'm like, why is property law so strange here? Why is it such a hard thing to decipher when it's really not that difficult? I didn't realize that. Have you ever heard of covenant clauses?
No.
Okay, so I started doing a little bit of research, and you know, that word covenant kind of hits for me. It's what I thought was a biblical Christian term, right? Mm-hmm. And it is, but it's also which I had no idea. This is something I didn't learn about until I started doing private research. It's a property term that a lot of landowners wrote in covenant clauses that would prevent their land and their property rights from being turned over to anyone who wasn't white. So a covenant clause is this rider.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not making this up at all.
When did you learn this?
Today. A covenant clause is something that they put into property rights that basically says if my land changes hands somewhere down the road to a non-white person, it's an invalid contract and it falls back to blah, 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 blah. Well, I've never heard of that.
You're a non-white person.
I'm non-white. So that's...
Maybe that's what it is.
That's what it is.
So they're not wrong.
Right. They literally had trouble in North Carolina having to figure out how to deal with it. We dealt with it here in Virginia, I think in 2020. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it took that long. You don't realize, growing up in the Northeast, that this isn't just in the history books. It's a generational thing, right? So when contract law is built on codes and theories and clauses like that, no wonder we're having problems in our small, very fortunate, more modern day trial, which in no way can be related to that, but it's generational. It's this generational curse from the evil that was, that hasn't been fully purged, that is the reason why you need to stay engaged in civil discourse, because we need to purge all of these things. I had no idea that was a thing. It needs to be purged, right? So thank God Virginia worked towards changing that. But this is what I've been thinking about, sitting sick in my bed, wondering how we're going to pay the bills for all of these legal debacles in Virginia. That doesn't make any sense to me, because in New Jersey, had we had an issue like this, it would have been fixed inside of a year, start to finish.
Yeah. The more we learn, the more things make sense. It's just not a great story to tell. Because when you're going through the process, I've said it's like this kind of like illogical loop that seems to just kind of spin and spin and spin. Well, that's because there are not really definitive rules we're finding in place to protect people. There is a matter of how much influence and how much leverage and how much of a lineage do you have. That is essentially your leverage. Whether you're right or wrong, or whether someone lies or not, if you're the disadvantaged party, not so much the case. It's who are you connected to? How far does that go back? And how well do you know the way the system really works?
It's corporatocracy in a different sense, right? Because if corporatocracy is just your ability to influence public policy, laws, regulations based on your corporate status, that's what this is. I don't think that the racism has continued on in its entirety the way it was. I think there's still racism, but I think that it's expanded to not just be about someone's skin color or even their background. It's expanded to include an economic component, and that's why the laws are the way that they are now, because you really need to be able to afford justice in this state. If you can't afford justice, and that more so than what you look like, if you can't afford justice in this state, you're not gonna get it. It's not guaranteed to you.
That's probably the most fairest thing we've said to date, based on my experience. And you had talked about, I don't want to jump topics, but you had talked about the recent veto by Governor Youngkin regarding class action lawsuits.
Yeah. Yep. And if you apply that to our case, there were, by our builder's own admission in public record, 30 to 40 houses that had breach of contract issues because they were not finished in their appropriate timeline based on their contracts, right? This is all public record. I'm not making any claims for anyone else. I'm just trying to give you a synopsis. So if by his own admission, 30 to 40 families in my development were affected by his inability to complete our homes, then we should have been able to pool our resources and sue him collectively so that it didn't damage us as individuals. And we could have come to some sort of settlement where he finished the work and it would have cost us each, let's say, $500 to get our punch list completed and our homes corrected, instead of costing us $50,000 on our own up against his, you know, corporate status.
I think the difference between, you know, there's being judgmental and then there's judging right from wrong. There's nothing that stops us from judging right from wrong and holding people accountable, including ourselves. We just can't be judgmental. We can't say I'm better than you because of this or that.
Yeah, and I don't even want to talk about Christianity anymore because I feel like I don't know enough. Yeah, I'm over it. I'm like, here's where my point is going though, right? Because I'm like, whatever. Like, just whatever. Like, literally, if you get nothing else from this podcast, that's my attitude right now. But like, this Chesterfield County ability to just pick and choose what laws it's going to listen to and avoid transparency is akin to me of being a Christian who does harm, doesn't make amends, and still expects total forgiveness. There's a FOIA case out right now.
Freedom of Information Act.
Correct. And it is regarding a lady who was standing up for a child who was abused. The video that she made, because Chesterfield County Police didn't respond correctly, in her opinion. She made a video about it. It went TikTok viral. Most of Virginia, I think, has seen it. And people are supporting her. She has a GoFundMe page. You can go support her legal attempts. But basically, they wouldn't give her... They arrested her in front of her kids. They threatened to take them away. All because she was coming out about some injustice in the Chesterfield County Police Department and the fact that they returned a child who was being abused to their abuser.
Yeah.
Allegedly. She has been systemically abused, I believe, in my opinion, by the Chesterfield County Police Department. They arrest her constantly. They harass her children. It's horrific. So she made a request for the body cams. That's it. Should be very simple. I've made several FOIA requests. I've never been asked to pay a dollar. She made this FOIA request to the police department and they wanted to charge her over $20,000. I think it was like $24,000. You know, why no transparency? If you've done nothing wrong, you could easily make amends by just showing what did happen and being transparent. But Chesterfield County in particular decides when they disclose and what they disclose.
Yeah. And what was it about the well, there's a couple things. There's the pastor. We got his rep.
Yeah,
to touch
so the reason
that.
Yeah, the reason I think it's a Chesterfield thing too is like a year ago. It was April, when's the article written? April 23rd, 2023, there was an article written about how a pastor who was soliciting minors for sex online was arrested. He lived in Virginia Beach, but Chesterfield County caught him, and it was part of a sting operation. They arrested him. He had a lot of evidence against him. Even the police chief in that scenario was dumbfounded that this pastor was able to get away with it. But basically, that pastor made a deal in Chesterfield County that they openly discuss in the article, which means it's got to be in the case file. And because of it, his record was expunged. The charges were dropped. 16 people were arrested. 13 went to jail or had charges. He was one of three who had none. And his evidence was, I think they noted it as more compelling than the other cases. So he's back to being a pastor. So all you gotta do is come to Chesterfield County, make a deal, and you're back to being a pastor.
And that is coming from the chief of police for the county.
Right.
That's not some random person at a Wawa complaining. That's right. The chief of police.
They also, in a separate case, same police department, same police chief, decided that they are not going to include officer names when they do these FOIA requests for other people. If they are anything beneath a lieutenant, then they don't have to put their name on what it is they do. So if someone arrests you and they do you harm or they go too far, they violate your rights, you can't put that blame on them directly because you can't have a name in the FOIA request. If your name is withheld from the record, are you ever really held to account for the laws that you break? Because no one's going to remember your police badge, right? But they'll remember your name. By allowing these officers a cloak of invisibility, you're also allowing them to decide what they're going to be held accountable for or not.
Well, two things. One is, think about it this way. Everybody, I mean, I'm not online a ton, but like the idea of anonymity on the internet. So people say like really offensive, horrible things. You know, they get real aggressive, real abrasive because you don't know who they are. So the worst of them comes out. So imagine police officers in sensitive situations under a tremendous amount of stress. And I can sympathize with that. Your life's on the line. No joke. I want to make concessions for that, but not when it comes to what's true or just. So we're going to allow these people to not be identified in the name of what? Protecting them. Why? The protection needs to focus on the citizen, not on the authoritarian.
Unless it's a corporate state. And that's where we come back to every time. If the interest of the department, the regulatory portion, the businesses, if their rights are put above the citizen, you're not a public servant anymore. You're a corporate cog. Yeah,
you are.
That's it.
Yeah, you know? I could see what they'll do in Virginia too, based on this kind of this like nonsensical logic I've seen. I bet you what they argue is that these police could be undercover. So
that's exactly it.
Is it?
Oh, it is. Yes, you're right on the nose.
They're going to say, well, because they're undercover, and you're not going to identify an undercover agent. But this guy just pulled me over, and he just kicked me on the ground. Yes, but he might be undercover at some point. And I do declare that, you know.
Yes, in Virginia, you are able to say that you are undercover or might be undercover in something related. Yeah. Right. And that's enough to give you the cover.
I was like, they're going to have some hook somewhere and they'll just blanket apply it everywhere.
Right.
That's
so
what they did.
That's the hook that they used to make this FOIA law cover them. It was one of the museums here. There's a couple different museums that deal with civil rights here. And I forget which one it was. We actually had gone to see it with the kids. And they basically described how after civil rights went through, the laws, even though the Constitution was changed, Virginia was kind of the leader of the southern states, and the other southern states would watch Virginia to see what they'd do, and they would use different codes and different amendments to state law to be able to limit the civil rights that had become a federal mandate, you know? So they're trying to circumvent the Constitution, so to speak, by putting in these state laws. And it's still going on today. The fact that of 50 states, there are only two that don't allow class action lawsuits. One of them's Virginia, and the other one is, wait for it, Virginians, because I know you want to be associated with this state, Mississippi. And again, the other southern states are allowing Virginia to take this action, hoping that the Virginia judges will allow it to pass so that they then can do the same in the other southern states.
Almost,
you know?
Like they're asking them to lead a kind of revolution, if you will.
Almost like
a very civil, very calm revolution.
Civil disagreement.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Where am I? What happened? Like, I just, here's what I'm thinking. I want to talk about how I'm feeling spiritually, but I was thinking, I used the term Virginia veneer. It was this veneer of politeness and, justice and truth and honor and all these great things. And I said, well, that was just a veneer. I think perhaps that people in Virginia are, particularly they do believe that you should be polite. And there are some things that they're not going to share out of the desire. However, I believe that perhaps that Virginia veneer is not so bad. Unless you slather underneath it just a whole bunch of Crisco Field County into that, and you use that as leverage to hide what's underneath that in certain situations.
Let's talk about one right now, right? I had to do another FOIA request to the Department of Professional and Occupational Regulation. Maybe, like, maybe they'll regulate. But I made another FOIA request to them because I showed, based on the conversations in the emails, the dates, I'm like, these documents are missing. Again, this is the third time I've made a FOIA request and I'm still missing documents. So they sent me back a email that said, can you please name the documents and tell us who? Well, no, I can't see them, but I can tell you that this document being referenced in this email on this date is missing because this information is not included and there's no response email dated that date, even though it's referenced in the other emails. So I had to go through 2,000 documents and list it out like that to be able to make this Freedom of Information Request Act, and they're on their third request for an extension because they can't find it. They don't have it.
Well, in going through the other issues, so you would, like, my thought is people, like, you hear about a house and you're like, you know, it's a bad experience, but, like, it's not earth shattering. But I was like, it can't operate like this in a vacuum. So there's got to be other aspects of the government in the county and beyond, let's say, that operate in a similar manner. And the case of this woman who was being harassed, arrested, they're violating FOIA. This is happening real time. That is the point. It isn't about this one situation and look the other way on this. It's about a certain level of standard. And if it's legal, it's got to be upheld. What we found is, like, for example, they told us, there's a point where they told us that we couldn't be represented by counsel, right? When we had a deport hearing, they told us you cannot be represented by counsel. Yep, the builder said, but you cannot.
They said he could walk into the room because it was a public hearing, but he would not be allowed to make any objections or interfere in any way, shape, or form. Could not make a statement, could not make any comments on the record. So would you pay someone $300, $400 an hour to sit in a space and not say anything? Well, that's what we were told in writing and verbally. And then lo and behold, right on their website, right? Let's find it so I can read it to you directly. So it says frequently asked questions on their website. Is it necessary to be represented by an attorney? This decision is entirely up to the claimant. While some claimants choose to be represented by an attorney in their claim, it's not necessary in order to file a claim. There are multiple documents that will need to be submitted. Some find an attorney helps navigate the process and paperwork, but again, seeking legal assistance is entirely up to the claimant. If the claimant is represented by an attorney, DPOR staff will contact that attorney directly with regard to the claim. You're allowed to be represented. Why was I told I was not?
Right. Why? That happened. We can prove it.
It's those dang covenant clauses.
Yeah,
I'm not allowed.
I'm saying, like, the only thing that makes sense is you go, laws don't apply. There is no right and wrong. And even talking through it, it's like, yeah, that's, like, pretty blatant. We got a bunch of information from FOIA I've referenced before where we can show the builder lying over and over again. And at first, that attorney, which we've parted ways, that's a whole nother story. But they told us that wasn't admissible. That was the first thing they said. Now, we had to correct them, but that's what they said, that, you know, proven lies on a FOIA with a regulatory body, they aren't admissible as evidence.
Right, because if they're not under oath at the time.
Right.
Right, and they'll never be under oath because there's right. No judge.
Exactly.
So what's the point of the regulatory board at all?
That's consistent with this idea of, well, their cops are undercover. Well, what if they're not undercover? Well, sometimes they're undercover. Yeah, but what if they're not undercover? Well, we can't.
They can lie. They can lie.
Right.
They can lie. That's allowed. That's legal. It's okay for cops to lie. So that's crazy. This is not justice for civilians. This is protection for corporations. And that's where I start to get so angry. The fact that we had a DPOR case, and this is probably, like, now I'm talking to a FOIA attorney because it's been too many extensions and too many times where they can't find the documents that they reference in the FOIA. So, and that's a Freedom of Information request. And this is another crazy Chesterfield that I totally forgot about. But basically, I asked for these documents in the FOIA request. They couldn't find them. But what I did find was in the investigative notes, our investigator wanted to pull a very specific document from the building department. So she requested it and put in a formal, you know, request to get this that document. And for some reason, she noted in her notes a couple of days later, someone came down to speak to her and advise her as to why she didn't need that report. So she rescinded her request. And this is in the FOIA documentation. So if you think there's not interesting stuff in there, there absolutely is. Why would someone come and tell her, no, you don't need these building documents, this whatever.
During an investigation.
During an investigation of the building, you don't need to bother the building department and get these documents that would probably most likely support what I was saying. And then further, because she didn't request them, for whatever reason, this person specifically came to tell her not to request them. We were coming up on the timeline where the county could burn our documents.
Right.
So had she requested them, they would have forevermore been part of the public file. But because she didn't, the county was able to burn them before I could get my hands on them. So this is the kind of stuff that makes you go, really, Chesterfield? Really?
We can digitize everybody's medical records. It's inexpensive, but the county says, no. Better to burn them than keep records of our building permits anywhere.
Shoot, police can pull up your arrest records in their little vehicles. They can pull up your tickets in their vehicles live. But they can't keep a building document long enough for me to finish my civil suit. You know, so that's the kind of stuff.
Legit.
That's crazy. So, you know, this is all part of our file. I don't know. Once we talk to you and this next attorney, I'll decide whether or not to put up the whole FOIA thing. I just don't want people calling us at home. And like my number is all up in there. So I don't know.
Got to get as much transparency as possible. You've got to let as many people know as possible. And ultimately, the best vote you can cast is voting with your feet, your time, your energy. And I cast the wrong ballot when I relocated to Chesterfield County, Virginia, but I didn't know the history. I assumed that this kind of thing just wasn't even a reality. And after living half a century, I thought I was probably right about that. And guess I was wrong.
Yeah. So we should have stayed hell in Henrico.
You live and you learn, and we will make our way back. And even if this house bankrupts us, There's worse things that can happen that are happening to people, but they're happening because this kind of nonsense is allowed to permeate government and authority.
Yeah. But if you did want to support our legal efforts, we have a way for you to do that. If you go to our podcast, you can go and support our page. And, you know, I think if enough people donated a dollar or two, $5 here, $5 there, we could probably finish this lawsuit and maybe not be homeless. And that would be lovely.
Well, and the other thing, and one note on that lawsuit, is what I've learned also is like everybody gets a check at some point. Not everybody gets a check, but the people that get a check, part of it is like, shut up and you don't talk about it. And it never happened. So that's never going to be one of the things we agree to. We're never going to say, you can offer me any amount of money, I'm not going to not go public, because this is a matter of public health. And had I known this was how the system operated, I never in a million years would have moved my family here. So other people deserve to know. So we're not going to not share that information. So no, if you do support our lawsuit, you're not supporting a lawsuit so we can get a check. You're supporting a lawsuit so this can all come to light and other people can be protected.